Well, how can end of life and bereavement care for Māori be improved? Wellington's Mary Potter Hospice has just held a symposium, Whetū I Te Rangi, in the capital on the subject, the first of its kind. Vanessa Eldridge, who is of Ngāti Kahangunu and the Rongomai Wahine descent, is the hospice's manager for health equity. She says death and dying has become highly medicalised, and with an ageing population for both Māori and Pākehā, more and more people will be accessing palliative care services in the future. She says a more Māori approach to end-of-life care and to the wider health sector will better serve Māori, Pasifika and other priority populations. Vanessa Eldridge is in the Wellington studio. Tēnā koe and welcome.
Te Māori.
So when you think of a Māori approach to palliative care, I mean, even using the technical terminology sounds funny, doesn't it?
It does.
To caring for people, loving and supporting people through their last days and beyond. But what would you say would be characteristics that are real strengths or really important that possibly don't feature in our health system?
I think that the privileging of wairua is a very important time for Māori, or for anybody really. The transitioning of spirit towards the end of life is probably the most tapu time for people, and there is a very particular way in which that can be supported and uplifted.
So when you're working in hospice, and let's just say most of us just love hospice, most of us who've had the benefit of really good hospice services for loved ones realise how much it does for whānau and for families. But when you look at how it is typically done in New Zealand, are there some who are leading the way in changing things positively, or in bringing extra values, extra cultural or other elements that others should think about?
Yes, I would say there definitely are. I think in general the health system is making change within that. We like evidence-based practice, so creating something like Māori Mate, the palliative care framework for all hospices of Aotearoa, is an important thing that was created and done by Māori people, Māori practitioners. So we've got some resources and tools in order to do that. That particular project was spearheaded by Tōtara Hospice, Mary Potter Hospice, and Te Ora, the Māori Doctors Association. So we've got some tools emerging. The Te Arawa Palliative Care Research Team at Auckland University have done some exemplary research in recent years, bicultural research, where they create very useful tools for kaimahi, for whānau, that are accessible. And the way in which they do that is also wonderful. They manage to foster and uplift and grow other people in the sector that they connect with and that contribute to their work. So we have some good research underway, we have some good resources underway, and we have so many different hospices that have different contracts, that operate in different ways, that have different funding structures. There is still some more that we can do in streamlining the resources and the information and the education that is able to be offered from those places that would be useful.
So is it patchy? Does it depend perhaps who, where you are as to how available new approaches are or old approaches are? Very old approaches are.
Yes, I think it does depend on where you are. Some of our hospices have very broad areas to reach, but I think one thing to remember is that Māori dying, or anybody's death and dying, is not just the business of those few lucky ones that managed to make it in the hospice. It's not just the business of primary care. It's a business of family, hapu, iwi, hapuri, health sector, everybody's business, and everyone's got a hand to play in that.
So what happened at the symposium? What's some of what you can let us in on, I guess, or inform the listeners about as to what is happening and what could be happening?
We invited Dr. Dawidi McCree-Jansen to come and, I suppose, lay the weddle for the sector.
He's good at that.
He is very good at that, and he was exemplary at it yesterday morning, which was wonderful. So he reminded everybody that you can't give good palliative care if someone's living in a car. You can't give good palliative care if people are on the street. And that the 3 P's are out, the 5 P's are in, and if we, I suppose, are not on board with kaupapa Māori, you're going to get left behind as a service. So that was powerful. I think also we had a kaumātua panel where we had rangatahi interview kaumātua, and that intergenerational knowledge transfer is very important for Māori. So we had a weddell, but then we were able to have the audience see a sense of where Māori wisdom comes from, and the grace and the way in which Māori people like to have things done. So we're grateful for that. We got to hear about what it's like for Māori community nurses in palliative care working in a rural setting, and contrast that with people working in an urban setting.
What did they tell you?
Relationship whanaungatanga is always key. Tending to ritual, knowing about tapu and noa is always key. Sometimes Māori to Māori, kanohi ki kanohi, will make an instant connection, which just is. And so sometimes our practitioners need to allow that to happen, and the Māori staff will open the way for other people in the multidisciplinary team to be able to step in. We learnt about the importance of managing and using data and how we should all care about that, which was really important. If we don't know about that, we're missing opportunities. We might be missing out on money, but possibly we might not be spotting incorrect data, which is another thing to worry about. We learnt about rongo Māori and the importance of that for people, how people might access it. And we did have a session on bereavement. I think bereavement is probably a space where palliative care really needs to grow our focus and understanding and service.
Meaning what? Meaning that sometimes the service ends just when the bereavement ramps up, or what?
I think a lot of people think that palliative care and hospice care is for rich Pākehā people, rather than it's a service and information tools and resources that are able to support whānau to care for the person in their home how they want to be cared for.
Okay, so are you saying there is a need for even more outreach into the home, which really happens to some extent?
It does happen to some extent.
But more.
And I suppose differently and with added connections and resources. If I have a Māori patient and we aren't able to provide the right practitioner or the right sort of service that they're after, then do I know the local Māori health provider that might be able to hook them up with another resource or something else that's going to enhance their care in the community? If we haven't got those wider connections with other people in the health sector or other people in the Māori sector, we won't be able to pull that off as well.
So what does that say also about workforce and makeup of workforce?
We need more Māori to be working in palliative care. Rāwiri said yesterday that I think they've reached sector parity with Māori doctors. There are 16% of doctors at the moment are Māori, but only 6% of nurses. So there's some work definitely needed for that. In palliative care, we do need things like roles like Māori liaisons. We do need really strong iwi connections. We do need kaumātua connections that can support the tikanga and kawa for diverse people where it's needed.
Was there an openness or reception from all to that, and a yes, can you help me? And allied to that, is there going to be a resource and a capacity issue? Because we all know, just straight funding wise, hospices, at a time of growing demand, it's only going to grow. We know our population's ageing. Yeah. Many are stretched.
Yeah.
Many, like most dependent on donations, suffered a lot last year. So is the willingness there, but potentially some challenges with capacity or with, you know, funding?
Oh, the willingness is definitely there, and funding is definitely an issue. For our service, we need to raise about $7, $8 million a year in order to keep our service free to the people of Wellington. And so because of that, hospice services are complex organisations. We need to have a retail arm, we need to have a fundraising arm, we need to have a caring arm, and those first two parts help us support the caring arm. So we are complex organisations, and yep, funding is always an issue. But also yesterday too, we heard about the burden that are on Māori kaumahi in organisations.
Everywhere, by the way.
Everywhere. So there was another reason for doing one of the sessions we did yesterday, was I wanted the audience to see the value that they had when they had a Māori kaumahi come in with them, who bring their whānau, who bring their community, who bring their kaumātua, who bring them with that, but also so they could get a greater understanding of what a good, true partnership with iwi looks like too, and so they've got an understanding of what they've got when they've got those people on board.
So what's next steps?
For us at the hospice, we're doing some whanaungatanga or stakeholder feedback. We need to get a better understanding of what Māori people's experience in our service has been like, what it's like now.
And access also. Ability in the first place?
Our access actually isn't too bad. Okay. We have done some look at that, and it appears at this stage that for... We would have expected that about maybe 25-30% of deaths or expected deaths in an area might be met by the local hospice, but we found it's close to 50% in the Porirua area, so that's 50% of all deaths in Porirua. I think that we are involved in the care for those people, but that includes young deaths, accidents, people that don't have hospice service. So that's, you know, unexpected. So I think our accessibility isn't so bad, but of course everything can be improved.
Kia ora, thank you very much for coming in. And are you going to do this again, do you think? Is it going to become a... You have an interesting role also, health manager, manager health equity. Is that common in many of our health services?
To my understanding, the only one in the country in palliative care.
I shouldn't laugh because it's not right, but it makes so much sense. Goodness me, with what we're talking about, with what's happening with the whole health system, what we've been talking about for years, and now with the change coming, it makes so much sense.
Well, exactly, and so much change happening, and we're right on the cusp of really pivotal times for Māori health, for Māori for institutional racism, for tamariki oranga. Change is afoot, and we just need to make sure that we are informed, abreast on the waka.
So there will be further of these, you expect, perhaps?
Look, I really hope so. We have a Hospice New Zealand kaimahi hui, so the Māori workers around the country get together once a year. That's a really important gathering for us. I would like to do this again. I'd also like to see an international Indigenous palliative care conference. That'd be fun.
Ngā mihi. Vanessa Eldridge is the Wellington's Mary Potter Hospice Manager for Health Equity, and it's just hosted the symposium Whetū I te Rangi in the capital.